On Tech News Today, Facebook is rolling out animated profile pics. Apple bans the iFixit app from the App Store, and some guy actually bought Google.com, and he owned the domain for an entire minute. It's all coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, October 1st, 2015. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service that's the most sophisticated way for you to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit Wealthfront.com/TNT to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's Wealthfront.com/TNT. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. My name is Mike Elgin. Kashmir Hill is off today, so we're going to jump right into the news. An exclusive on Recode by Kara Swisher and Kurt Wagner reports that Twitter co-founder and current interim CEO Jack Dorsey will be named the new permanent CEO as early as today. Kurt Wagner joins us now. Welcome to the show, Kurt.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Dorsey get fired as CEO? Why would they hire him to do a job they fired him for? And who does he think he is, Steve Jobs?
I'm sure he'd love for people to think that he's Steve Jobs. And, you know, he was fired a long time ago, or at least in the tech world. It was a long time ago, and he's been doing the job, as you know, for the last three, almost 4 months now. And I think the feeling is that he is the co-founder of Twitter, and he has a lot of authority and a lot of product sense that I think they need right now in order to grow the user base. And people inside, outside the company, people who are invested in the company, they all seem to think Jack is the right guy for the job. And as we reported yesterday, it sounds like the board is thinks that too.
Now, what about his day job where he is the CEO of Square?
Right, that other big company he has. So unknown officially whether or not he'll still be running Square, but he has said multiple times that he is not leaving Square. As we mentioned yesterday, we're kind of operating under the assumption that he will then be doing both companies. Until a formal announcement is officially made, I don't think we can say that definitively. But I think the idea or the thought is that he will be the CEO of Square and Twitter. And all of a sudden, it becomes a very interesting predicament for him as Square tries to IPO and Twitter tries to work through its issues. You know, who's going to be the first one to complain that they're not getting enough Jack time? I don't know.
Somebody's going to do it. Now, your piece mentioned a plan B in case the Jack option doesn't happen. What is plan B?
What is plan B? Well, as you know from the story, it's somewhat unclear. Plan B is essentially if the Jack thing doesn't happen, the board has an outside candidate who they think could potentially step in and do the job. We don't know who that candidate is. I think that, you know, the hope, of course, is that plan A works out, that Jack is the one who takes the job and ultimately runs Twitter. But, as a board, and especially as the Twitter board, for people who are familiar with the company's history, I mean, gosh, they have had so many issues with executives and you know, CEOs being pushed out and come back in and co-founders fighting that, I think they should have a plan B, probably a plan C as well, just because you never know with Twitter what's going to happen. But the plan B would be an outsider coming in as CEO. We don't know who that outsider is. And again, we think that Jack, from what we're hearing, is going to be announced sometime soon.
Okay, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about a story you posted yesterday. We tried to get you on the show and you were busy and couldn't come on. But basically, we did report it anyway. And the story is that Twitter is planning another service that will allow long-form posts. This was misreported by others who were doing a bad pickup on your piece and said that they would be abandoning the limitation on 140 characters, although right. Your piece did say that they would loosen it a bit by not counting certain things like links and stuff like that. I'm curious to get you, since we have you here, get your take on that. Now, are you imagining something like Medium that would be a Twitter branded site. People could post these long things and then it would somehow be connected to Twitter. What are you picturing when you talk about this this other service?
So I think that there's two parts to the story yesterday. The first is that internally they've been having open conversations about changing what the 140 character limit means. And what I mean by that is, should they remove things like user handles or hashtags or, you know, the 17 or 20 characters that you lose when you attach a photo to a tweet? If those things were to disappear, in essence, the 140 character limit might, you know, expand beyond what it has traditionally been. And so those conversations are happening. That's part one. Part two is that Twitter is also actually building a product to enable people to go beyond that 140 character limit. And so whether that means being able to, you know, have a 140 character tweet that when you click on it expands and all of a sudden you can now read 500 characters, or whether that's a standalone medium type thing where you're sharing directly to Twitter, we don't know the details. In my mind, I would kind of lean towards the first, right? Because again, and I've been just bombarded on Twitter about this story over the last 48 hours, but the idea is that people like the constraint. And so my guess would be if Twitter has done their research and talked to users and everything, which I'm sure that they're doing because they don't want to screw this up, they kind of leave the tweets themselves as close to the 140 as you can, while still maybe, again, you click and it expands into something where you can write more if you want to. That would be my guess. But again, we don't know exactly what that new product's going to look like, just that they have something in the works where they're building that.
Well, I hope they do something like that. I mean, it would make a ton of sense for multiple reasons. I mean, if you look at Facebook, for example, they've got the instant articles where the articles are already preloaded in the mobile app. And when you click on a post that is essentially a shared link, it's just boom, it's there and has video and it's rich and stuff like that. So so Facebook itself is actually conveying that article from the Washington Post, the New York Times or whatever it is. And in this case, I think Twitter would love, you know, let's face it, all tweets are either very cryptic short things or they're links to articles or pictures or something on another site. So I am sure that internally at Twitter they're saying, well, why are we linking to other sites when we can link to our own site and put ads there? Of course, with a big long form post, you could do all kinds of interesting ads, including video ads and so on. So it makes sense for their business. It probably makes sense for users. It'd probably be faster, especially in the mobile app. So it sounds like it would make a whole lot of sense.
I think so. And you also look, and there's been great examples over the years of important, influential people coming to Twitter to make these big announcements, and they end up sending like 10 tweets in order to do it. And by the time you get down to the 10th tweet, no one's listening anymore. Or you know, you look at the retweet counts, and all of a sudden it's like a quarter of how many times the first tweet was retweeted. So I think that there's this need for them to give people a space to write things that are longer than 140 characters. I really do think that the constraint has a lot of benefit to it. And I think that they would be somewhat silly to totally abandon it. I don't think that they will. But, you know, again, this is representative of Jack being in charge. I think that he knows that the product needs to change and it might need to change dramatically. And he's not afraid to kind of think that way. And as the co-founder of Twitter and not just an employee of Twitter, he has the authority to kind of make these kinds of decisions or to greenlight a project like this. And I think that that's a really important thing that they're going through right now.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Kurt Wagner's at recode.net. And you can click on his links and read his long form posts at KurtWagner8 on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kurt.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye. Morning's coming up, but first I want to talk about hiring the best people you can possibly hire using one of our sponsors today, ZipRecruiter. I've hired a lot of people in my career, and it is great to hire people when you finally make the hire. But getting to that point is really difficult for two reasons. First of all, it's very difficult to go out and find the people who are out there in the world and figure out where you can get them and not miss people that would be ideal for your job position. And so ZipRecruiter will help you do that because they'll let you post to 100-plus job sites with a single click, and then be instantly matched to candidates from their gigantic resume database. They've got way more than 6 million resumes now, and that grows by enormous amounts every single day. And then you post once, and within 24 hours, the candidates come rolling in, but not all of them, not if you don't want them all. If you've got a lot of candidates submitting responses to your ad, you can use ZipRecruiter's powerful tools to filter out the people who are unqualified based on your criteria And so you're not going to waste your time on people who are not qualified. And that's a huge part of the job filling process, is just slogging through all those resumes and trying to figure out, is this person qualified or are they not? And ZipRecruiter, of course, helps you with that fantastically. That's why ZipRecruiter has been used by more than 400,000 businesses. And you know what? You can try it now for free. And you'll be as happy as Dan. We have a testimonial from a user named Dan who said the hardest part about running a business when you need to hire is you have to spend extra time recruiting while you're short-staffed. Good point, Dan. But with ZipRecruiter, I've gotten quality candidates within 24 hours of posting a job. ZipRecruiter's website makes this process so much faster by letting me manage candidates in one place. Today, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of Tech News Today. A mobile operator called Digicel said yesterday that it's demanding that Google, Facebook, Yahoo, and other companies with mobile ad networks pay up if they want Digicel to display their ads on customer phones. John Brodkin is a senior IT reporter for Ars Technica and joins us to talk about it. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Now, what about a little thing called net neutrality?
Well, net neutrality rules don't exist everywhere. We have them in the U.S., and they would prevent a company like this from blocking ads or other content. But this company called Digicel, they're in Jamaica. They offer service to about 13 million people in a little over 30 Caribbean and South Pacific countries.
And as you say that net neutrality, I imagine, is in place in some of those countries, I would guess. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I don't know the specific countries if they have net neutrality rules. I would assume that they don't. Yeah. In the countries that this is being deployed in.
Now, you wrote that a similar argument was made by Comcast and other big internet service providers in the U.S. when they demanded fees from Netflix in exchange for direct connections to their networks. That's a quote from your article. How is this similar exactly?
Well, the issues are different. In that case, what Comcast and other companies wanted was for Netflix to pay for a faster connection to their network, a direct connection. This, what's similar is the argument this company, this mobile carrier, they're saying that advertisers should essentially pay to improve this carrier's infrastructure because they're using it by delivering ads.
I see. And has this been tried before? It sounds like an unusual tactic.
I don't think it's, well, actually it was tried by an internet service provider in France a couple of years ago. It wasn't a mobile carrier, it was a home internet provider. And it only lasted about a week. I don't think there was a rule against it, but the French government was very upset about it, and the company backtracked. There was a report over the summer that European carriers were talking about doing this on their mobile networks. I think one of the impetus is that there's a new company called Shine Technologies, which has a technology that will block these ads at the network level. And so this company, Digicel, is the first one to actually implement this particular technology.
Do you think they'll get away with it? Do you think the Googles of the world will pay up?
I kind of doubt it. I mean, Google, they have not said what they're going to do in regards to this. But, you know, this year, like this week, Google was talking about how ad blockers are sort of, is throwing the baby out with the bathwater is what they were talking about. Is what they said. You know, they're talking about it'd be good to get ads that are a little more friendly to users, but they don't seem to be a fan of ad blockers. And they haven't said that they would pay to, that they're going to pay this company's demands.
One way to get revenge would be to roll out, Project Fi and also Google Fiber in Jamaica and run them out of business, or just acquire the company and change the policy or whatever. But it would be a bad precedent for the mobile ad companies, of course, because that's how they're doing it. Although it doesn't suggest the idea that carriers with this technology could provide this, you know, could provide ad blocking. I mean, basically, they could say, okay, well, here's the price with the normal ads, but if you want to pay double that price, we'll block all the ads for you. That could be an interesting model. Do you think that would be legal or desirable by any of the carriers?
That I don't know.
All right. John Brodkin is at ArsTechnica.com and on Twitter at JBrodkin. John, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye. Facebook has started rolling out animated profile pictures. Wired editor Molly McHugh joins us to talk about it. Welcome to the show, Molly.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going great, thanks. Now, who has access to these animated profile pics? Is it available to everybody yet?
No, it is not. For now, it's going to be iOS only, and they're rolling it out really slowly to just UK and US users.
And how do you use it?
Well, basically, when you go into your mobile app, you will see, if you click on your profile, you'll see a little prompt that says, tell us more about yourself. You'll notice that your profile picture is now dead center in the middle instead of off to the side. And from there, you can do things like add a new short bio with, you know, emoji in it if you want. And you can also take short videos. I think it's a 7-second max. And add those. So it kind of looks like you have an animated GIF profile now. It is not actually an animated GIF, but it looks a lot like it.
Now, is it possible to use Apple's new live pictures feature for this? Or does it have to be, say, a YouTube video or a video created by your phone in the regular way using the video feature?
Any video that you create is going to work. It's going to, when you go in there and want and choose upload photo or upload video, it's going to take you straight to your camera roll. So if your live photos are saved there and they are under 7 seconds, then you are free to use them. I would suggest going and making one that's specifically 7 seconds or trimming one down just because it will just bump you out telling you that 17-second video is way too long.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, one of the problems that companies like Facebook always try to avoid is to become the new MySpace. If you recall the big social network before Facebook was MySpace, and they gave users a lot of freedom to put animations of different kinds all over their profile pages, and it just looked hideous. I mean, it was just like it was a garish, ugly, nasty-looking social network. Do you think this will contribute to the visual clutter that already plagues Facebook?
I mean, that's the first criticism everybody says, is the second a site gets any GIFs, they go straight to it's going to turn into MySpace. Facebook is a lot more closed with its platform. You're not going to have a million different developers coming in and doing things like, here's how to make a crazy looping video, that they'll just shut it down if they don't like it. And I mean, this particular update is really geared toward mobile profiles. You'll see them on the desktop. Like if you go to my page right now on the desktop, you can see that I have a little moving picture in the middle or off to the side. But this is really about mobile profiles. We're kind of, you know, they're really, really, it was a really cluttered space in there and your picture was not really a focal point. So more than anything, I think that they're just trying to kind of bring it back to what people want to look at, and that happens to be pictures of you. So if this one thing is moving on your page, I don't think it's that big of a cluttery deal, and everything else got a little bit more, I don't know, it's subtle. So I think it works out pretty well.
Yeah, and I changed mine this morning as well. It's kind of a cool feature. And it's also interesting that Facebook's mobile-first approach to things is in full force here. I mean, you can't change it on the desktop. You can see it. In order to change it, you have to be on the phone itself, on an iPhone, as you said. Molly McHugh is at Wired.com and on Twitter at IAmMollyMcHugh. Thank you for joining us today, Molly.
Thanks a lot. Right.
Independent lab tests found that at least some Samsung TVs in Europe use less energy when they're being tested than they do in real life, according to a report in The Guardian. The European Commission intends to investigate Samsung for cheating on the tests. Samsung denies the charges. At issue is a feature called motion lighting, which reduces TV brightness and power consumption when video motion is detected. The feature appeared to reduce power consumption during tests, but not under real-world viewing conditions. Samsung has a history of either being accused of or convicted of cheating. Samsung has admitted in court to stealing multiple aspects of Apple's intellectual property. The company was found guilty 2 years ago by Taiwan's Fair Trade Commission for hiring people to post fake comments supporting Samsung in online forums, also known as astroturfing. The company was caught cheating on benchmark tests for the Samsung Galaxy 2, then lied about it. And Samsung was fined by Taiwan's FTC for lying in ads about smartphone features. So good luck with that, Samsung. I hope you weren't cheating. It's been a couple of years since these types of reports have been in circulation. We'll see what comes of that case. We got a follow-up for you. In the wake of our report yesterday about Apple banning a Washington, D.C. speed camera notification app based entirely on public information posted by the local police, Apple has now removed the iFixit app because of that company's teardowns. iFixit makes gadget repair tools and is well known for taking apart consumer electronics to learn more about them and posting all the pictures and details. The company recently did teardowns of the Apple TV and included Siri remote control. Apple said the teardowns violated the developer agreement under which those products were provided to iFixit. Unfortunately, the same user account was used for the iFixit app, and that's why it was removed, according to the iFixit blog. Got a couple of product updates, starting with Apple. OS X El Capitan is now available to download in Apple's App Store. The free new desktop OS includes the updated Spotlight search feature and improvements to Safari, Notes, Mail, and other applications. The OS also includes a new split view for apps and the use of the San Francisco typeface throughout that originally made its debut on Apple Watch. Also, our friend Mike Murphy at Quartz pointed out that the so-called spinning wheel of death, the animation displayed when you're waiting for something to load, now has a flatter look. So there's a reason to go download it. Well, Skype for Windows now has translation integrated into the desktop application. Six voice languages are translated in real time to or from English, French, German, Italian, Mandarin, and or Spanish. 50 languages are supported for chat. The update application will roll out over the next few weeks. Let's take a look and see how this works.
Remember your headphones to ensure you have the most accurate translations possible. As you or your contact speaks, it will be translated in your headphones and the translations will appear on your screen.
Hi, how are you?
Remember to speak clearly and wait for the translation to appear.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Te tengo noticias. Francesca va a tener un bebé.
I've got news for you. Francesca is going to have a baby.
And that's all there is to it.
And congratulations to Francesca. Well, I got some more news coming right up, but first, let's talk about Wealthfront. Let's talk about hanging on to your hard-earned money and growing that money, and because more money is always better. It's the best kind of money. One of our sponsors today is Wealthfront, the best way to invest and manage your money. Traditional advisors charge enormous fees, between 1% and 3% of what you got under management, plus lots of hidden fees and transactions and changes, stuff like that. You don't want that kind of help. You want Wealthfront because it makes it easy for anyone to access world-class long-term investment management. You can get started today with a minimum of $500. Just go to Wealthfront.com and just a few minutes, it goes right to work monitoring your portfolio around the clock and taking action as soon as an opportunity arises. Wealthfront is transparent and accessible. You can view all your accounts in one place, whether they're personal, joint, or retirement. You can also see every trade that Wealthfront makes on your behalf in your dashboard, on your desktop, or one of my favorite features, in their mobile app. Sophisticated investment strategies like tax loss harvesting and direct indexing, which optimize your after-tax returns while simultaneously lowering your tax bill. With Wealthfront, you pay 0.25% a year. That's 25 basis points, zero commissions, and wait for it, no hidden fees. That's less than $5 a month to invest a $30,000 account. There are no additional charges for any of Wealthfront's services. Wealthfront manages over $2.6 billion in client assets, and it's grown over 20 times in the past 2 years. Join Wealthfront and start investing your money the right way today. And if you visit Wealthfront.com/TNT to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio, you can take advantage of this amazing service. You'll see the customized allocation they recommend for your profile. And just for TWIT listeners and viewers, you can sign up to invest. Wealthfront will manage your first $15,000 entirely free of charge for life. Claim your offer today at Wealthfront.com/TNT. For compliance purposes, I have to tell you that Wealthfront, Inc. is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are offered through Wealthfront Brokerage Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing in securities involves risks, and there is a possibility of losing money. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please visit Wealthfront.com to read their full disclosure. In news you can lose, a new app called People, spelled P-E-E-P-L-E, lets you rate and review human beings just like you can restaurants on Yelp. You can rate other people with a star rating from 1 to 5 stars and also write product reviews essentially on People. The app claims to require that you personally know the person rated. You prove it by providing their cell phone number. So if there's any public figure who has ever put out their cell phone number, they're going to get rated. While positive ratings are posted immediately, negative ones are held for 48 hours to give the victim time to dispute the review. Ironically, If you're not registered for the site and can't contest negative ratings, only positive ratings will be displayed, according to the Washington Post. So my advice is do not register for this app. The app should launch in late November. Note that another product with the same name and the same spelling emerged coincidentally this week. The People app is all the People product is a crowdfunded front door video. People, get it? Peephole. In other news, you can lose. An ex-Google employee named Sanmay Ved successfully bought the Google.com domain for $12. He was searching Google Domains, which is Google's domain buying service, and he noticed that Google.com was suddenly available for purchase. So he bought it. Once in his possession, Ved started getting emails with internal information meant for the owner of Google.com and gain access to the webmaster controls, he informed Google immediately. But 1 minute after the purchase, Google Domains canceled the sale. And so Ved is no longer in charge of Google.com. Our TNT fan of the day is Randall Soles in Chattanooga, Tennessee, who posted this food porn on Twitter. He's having what he calls his one of his crazy breakfasts. Eggs with broccoli, garlic, and onions, and of course, Tech News Today is part of this complete breakfast. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup or your breakfast and post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook, and use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT so we can find it. And let us know what's on your mind. We want to hear from you. If you've got a comment on one of our stories or have an idea for a story we haven't covered yet, just send email to TNT at twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW. That's 260-868-7469. I listen to and read all of that input personally, and we can't publish everything. We can't broadcast everything, but we do some of them. So please reach out to us and let us know what you're thinking. You can subscribe to Tech News Today at twit.tv/TNT. And if you're ever in the greater Petaluma area, come on in and watch us as part of our studio audience right here in the Brick House. Just send email to tickets@twit.tv before you come in. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TechNewsTodayTV. And you can follow me on Google Plus at Plus Mike Elgin. Also, don't miss our other news show, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific every single weeknight. And that is the Tech News Today. The show is produced by Jason Kleanthis and edited by Anthony Nielsen. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.